be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry.
Hi, this is Gail Moskowitz and you're listening to Mental Health Matters. Mental Health Matters is a show that is dedicated to exploring any topic that is related to mental health. I talk about situations that affect our mental health, explore options to strengthen our mental health, describe various emotional disorders that disable so many individuals all over the world. I talk about relationships, both good and bad, addiction, sexuality, and also behaviors that are deemed immoral in our lexicon. In our current cultural lexicon, we talk about behaviors that are deemed immoral that are really mental health issues without even speaking to the morality of those issues. They are, and they are also mental health issues. Things like sexual addiction or drug addiction, those become a moral issue, but they have their roots in a mental health disorder. Sometimes I have a guest on, and sometimes I speak from my own body of knowledge. I'm an LCSW, a licensed clinical social worker, and I've practiced in Richmond since 1979. After I introduce a topic, I open the phones up to you, the listener, to ask a question, weigh in on the subject, or suggest a topic for a future show. The number at which to reach us is 649-9737. So if you want to call today, the number at which to reach me is 649-9737. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. here on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all my past shows, by logging onto my website. You can get onto my website by going onto WRIR's website and clicking on my show. It'll take you there. You can also find my email address there, and I look forward to your comments. Please feel free to be in touch with me at any point that you would like to. So, 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the outpouring of emotion that we all saw in the face of the gentleman who received the death penalty in Georgia. And I spoke about how the subject of the death penalty was such an intensely that the subject of the death penalty stirred up such intense emotions on both sides of the subject. And what was interesting is that the letter that I received, and I received one letter in after that show, and the letter was, "That's fine," it said. The letter said, "That's fine, Miss Moskowitz." That's what the letter said. "You can talk about the emotionality of how the emotionality of the death penalty, but what you didn't talk about was the efficacy of the death penalty." And you know what? I didn't. And it's because I wasn't, you know, I was talking about the things that it stirred up in all of us. But it's really true that all of the research points to that the death penalty does not deter people from doing the kinds of crimes that would lead to them being convicted and sentenced to death. All the research points to it. The death penalty does not make us safer. And that's the truth. So I thought it was worth saying that. Thought that was an important point. So that when I got into talking about today's topic, which also stirs people up on both sides, I am definitely going to start out with the efficacy of the topic and the doing this behavior. And what I wanted to talk about was spanking. So today I'm going to talk about the efficacy of spanking. Does spanking work? So again, this is one of those topics that stirs up a lot of emotion in people, both pro and con. And I want to talk about it from both the standpoint of does spanking help, and also from the standpoint of the emotional aspects of it. So when I did talk about the death penalty 2 weeks ago, I said that there were strong feelings on both sides of the subject, and that how there was such a tremendous strength of belief on both sides. And what's interesting about belief, what's interesting about ideology, is that research also points to when we have a deep set of ideological beliefs, that those beliefs are not particularly, you cannot sway those beliefs by facts. When we are entrenched in our ideology, we can hear a lot of things, but we can't hear the facts that might change our ideology, because that's too scary to give up our ideology. We're too entrenched in that. And so the one thing that won't help if you have ideological belief system is actually reading the real facts. So, and we see that all the time. My gosh, we see that in the political debates. Anyway, so this is another one of those topics where, and I said about the death penalty that it has such tremendous strength of belief on both sides of the issue. And I said that I said at the time that both sets of opinions very well have their roots in this survival of humanity. And I suggest that the topic I'm going to talk about today, spanking, has that same kind of duality. And the duality is that this ideological belief that spanking will help our children grow to be more competent and more successful adults, or that if you don't spank your kids, they would be more able to grow up to be competent and successful adults. So I wanted to just point, first of all, to a study published in the magazine, in the Journal of Pediatrics. The study was done at Tulane University. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on WRIR 97.3 FM here in Richmond, Virginia. And we're talking about spanking, the efficacy of spanking, and the emotional divide of the whole subject of spanking. And if you would like to weigh in on the subject, or if you have a question for me, feel free to call at 649-9737. 649-9737. I welcome your call. So in this study at Tulane University, the researchers, after having, after they designed the research so they could take out the confounding factors of parents' age and parents' mental health history and all those kinds of things that might change the outcome. They did this study, and they came up with the strongest evidence yet that a child's response to spanking in the short term might actually make them act out more in the long term. So no matter what you might think you're getting, the picture in the short term, that really, if you spank your kids, they are much more, they are going to be more apt to act out in the long term. And it said that of the nearly 2,500 youngsters in the study, that the children who were spanked more frequently at age 3 were much more likely to be aggressive at the age of 5. Just, I mean, it's really huge to think about that. So again, no matter what you might think or say about spanking or whatever your feelings are, the research does point over and over again to it is not a useful technique. So let me say a few things about what hitting, what spanking does really to our kids. And so if you spank your children, you're modeling something for them. You're modeling that it's okay to hit. We are our children's role models. We are who they emulate, at least when they're little, when they're young. And if you punish your children by hitting them, you are modeling that hitting is an appropriate behavior. Hitting is, if you spank a child, you are devaluing that child. You are modeling a power model that says that you have all the power and you have the right to take away their humanity long enough to spank them. You're devaluing that child. And then the other thing that I think is such an important thing to look at is, do we have a phone call? We have a phone call, but I'm going to get to it in a minute. Not only does spanking devalue the child, it's important to understand. Now, I just want you to just focus on this for a moment. Just think about this for a second. When I do something that pumps me up. I actually have two callers, so let me get back to this point in a minute and get one of the callers on the show. This is Gail Moskowitz, and you're on Mental Health Matters. Do you have a question for me? Can you speak a little louder and perhaps turn off the radio?
Hello?
Hi, now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, I can hear you, but you can't hear me. So go ahead and ask the question if you're able.
Hello.
That one's not working, Tim. Okay. Whoever it was who just called, please feel free to call again, and we'll try again. Okay. Do we have another caller, Tim? Okay. This is Gail Moskowitz, and you're on Mental Health Matters. I don't think that's working either. Okay, so if the callers can just hold on for a moment, I think Tim's trying to reevaluate our technology. Okay, so I know if you would just focus on this for a moment. When you have a surge of adrenaline that goes through you, that moves you to act out in a hostile way, and spanking is hostility, that the aftermath of that feeling brings you down. It devalues you. Whether you're conscious of it or not, if you're unless you are a person who's not at all connected to your feelings, that if you act out in that kind of way, in a way that stimulates a surge of emotion or adrenaline, the flip side of that is to feel exhausted and ashamed of yourself. So hitting not only devalues the child, it devalues the parent, and it clearly devalues the parent in the face of the child. And there at that moment, that parent looks to that child as someone they have to be afraid of. And while we want our kids to respect us and we want our kids to know we're the ones who are in charge, we don't particularly want our kids to be afraid of us. It's not something that makes for better children. Hitting is, you know, if you're spanking your kid, there's a possibility that that might also lead you to abuse your kid, because if you're in the middle of that and it's and you feel any amount of out of control, or the kid moves, or you hit harder than you think, you might really be perpetrating some abuse on that child. And here's the real kicker, is that hitting does not seem to improve behavior. It just doesn't. So often I hear my clients say over and over again that they've tried this, they've tried that, and nothing helps. Well, there are two reasons that nothing helps. And one reason is that you might try a new technique with your kid, and you don't try it for long enough. You don't give it the time to change the entrenched behavior. So with spanking, what that does is, unless you can, unless you're planning on spanking your child on a regular basis, you know what? I think we have the caller now. So this is Gail Moskowitz, and you're on Mental Health Matters.
Sure.
What can I do for you?
Yes, very interesting topic today. And I just wanted to share, I know that different colleges, and I think anybody can do a research and can favor it towards their way, not doubting the information. But I will say this, I thank God every day for my grandfather who spanked me as a kid. And what it taught me was authority. And I believe those who love their children have to be corrected. Now, spanking is a technique that is used, but in my family, I only can speak from the experience that I've only experienced myself, is that I have actually seen it work. And I would want to know as well how many children that end up on death row that has not been spanked. I wish somebody could do a research on that, because I believe there's a disconnect for authority.
Well, I understand that it's important to teach your children authority, but in truth, most of the people on death row come from families where they were really quite abused. So the research points to those children being the target of abuse. And you might say that abuse isn't spanking, but which it isn't. Abuse and spanking are very different things, and I understand that. But I don't think that people on death row have had a lack of somebody trying to beat the sense into them. So I hear you. You're saying that what it taught you was respect for authority. I think there are other ways of doing that, but clearly you're saying it worked for you, and I appreciate that.
It did, because I think some children, and this is just me, I believe that some children, you can really communicate effectively to them and talk with them, and their emotions, like my son, I don't spank him, because I can kind of say to him, listen, you've done a bad thing here, and he'll get it together, because he's been hurt by what I have pretty much stated to him. But there are some children where you just can't get through.
And
you really can't get through. I have a cousin. Me and him is like night and day. And with my cousin, even myself, the only way that you could get through to me was to spank me. And with my cousin, you would have to sit down. So I think it's an individual case with every child.
And I appreciate your thoughts, and I really appreciate your call, and I hope you'll keep listening, because I am going to absolutely address what you're saying right now.
Okay,
so,
great.
Thanks so much. So the last caller said that he believed it was an individual thing and that spanking really worked for him, while he didn't spank his son because he didn't think it worked for his son. and that it was a way of getting his attention, and he felt like it was workable. And he said that he thanked God for his grandfather, who taught him respect of authority, and that that was an important thing for him in the long run. And I am not in any way arguing with this gentleman that his reality isn't real, because that might be very true. It might have happened in his family just like that. And clearly there are plenty of people walking around today who are perfectly lovely, wonderful human beings whose parents spanked them. But what we want to look at is an overall view of this, which is that children need correction all the time. They need all sorts of things. They need to feel safe with you. They need a set of limits that are clear, that are consistent. They need a household that they can depend on. They need to know. Children really work better if they have a clear schedule, if their family works in a way that they know who they can depend on for what. All of those things are part of parenting, and all of those things are part of teaching both dependence, admiration, and respect for your parents. I say to parents all the time, you're in charge. Your kids don't get a vote in almost anything, especially when they're little. Now, might be able to voice their opinion, but ultimately all decisions in a house, or pretty much most decisions in a house, are up to the parents. And that's an important thing to establish very quickly in a family situation. But what we have found over time is that when your child doesn't do the right thing, which that happens frequently, children are pushing the limits all the time. So there has to be a whole array of things that you do to respond to your child acting out in inappropriate ways. And if you rely on spanking to do that, you're going to be hitting your kid on a regular basis. And there's the other piece of that, which is while it's important to, and it is important, it's important to teach your children respect for authority, we need to be humble and respectful. Those are two personal qualities that make our life worth living, that, you know, people who are always aggravated with authority, they can't learn well. They miss the wisdom that might be out there for them. They are people who are basically feeling so bad about themselves that they can't look at somebody else as having more authority than they do. And so humility and respect are two very important qualities to help your child to have in their day-to-day moral character. So if they're pushing the limits and pushing up against you, and the only option you have is to smack them, this is not a good long-term use of a punishment for them to know that if they get out of line, they're going to be hit. For a lot of reasons, there, as we said, that there, it models hitting, it devalues the child, it devalues you, it hurts, it feels terrible. When we get hit, a whole bunch of things happen in our brains, this whole analgesic reaction, where first we numb out. So if you numb out, you can't even be present for the lesson you wanted to teach your child. And that is almost the most important part of this discussion. If you hit your kid and the response is a neurology that pumps in an analgesic response to your brain chemistry, and it shuts a person down, it makes them less available to any teaching lesson at that moment. And so what the children do is they shut down and they move away, and they might quiet down, and they may know that you're the authority, you're in charge, and you better not act out. But what they don't learn is the lesson you wanted to teach them. And they learn fear. And that they have a lack of self-esteem. They're angrier. These kids have a lack of self-esteem, and they're angrier. Again, I'm not saying that everybody who's ever been smacked by their parent has low self-esteem and anger problems, and because I don't think that that's true. And as our last caller said, he felt like it was really helpful to him. And I'm not going to disagree with him, but across the board, that is what happens. It becomes ineffective and unusable as a way of teaching your child what it is you do want them to learn. There are so many other ways of responding to your child that where you want to teach the lesson. And for instance, what, you know, there's this funny kind of story that that happened in our family. My daughter was about three, and we were in a parking lot, and my mother was in the hospital, and she was in a rehab hospital, and we had taken her out to dinner. She had had a heart attack. I can't really remember because she's passed on now. And my daughter ran away from me in the parking lot and ran into the parking lot and onto one of the islands in the parking lot. And I couldn't get her to stop. She was, you know, being full of herself and, you know, and excited. And I finally, and I didn't want to scream at her because I didn't want her to keep running. And I finally got her to stay and got my hands on her and held on to her and, you know, really put my arms around her and said to her, that was a very, very bad thing to do, and parking lots are not playgrounds, and you could have gotten hit by a car, and you scared mommy, and you put your life at danger, and, you know, and of course those big tears started in her eyes, and when I got back across the street, my mother said, what did you do? And I said, I put her binky in time out, and my mother said, you put her binky in time out? Like, oh yeah, that's really harsh. But it was. It was the thing in her life she had the most attachment to. At that moment in her life, her binky was the thing she had the most attachment to. And my telling her that she had to give that up for whatever it was, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, was going to keep in mind for her. It was about the worst thing I could do to her. And she did. She wept for a while. And about 10 minutes later, she said, may I have my binky back? And I said to her, are you going to run in parking lots anymore? And she said, no, I never will again. And in truth, she never did again. And at that moment, what you want your child to be able to do is to continue to be attached to you, even though they know you're disappointed in them. Because that's an important lesson. You don't just want your child to be afraid of you or to respect you. You want your child to know that you have wisdom to give them and that you're never going to pull out of the emotional relationship with them. So we know that what we know is that spanking is a cycle. And while the gentleman asked how many people on death row were spanked as children, I can tell you that I haven't done that research yet, but I take a loan out from the bank and bet it that those kids were not only spanked, but they were abused. What we know is that hitting promotes anger. Spanking promotes anger. That spanking creates bad memories of childhood. And when children sit down and focus on how their parents were when they were disappointed in them, it takes the joy out of their childhood memories. That we have that the that we have shown over and over again that spanking seriously just doesn't work. There was a prospective study done that spanned 19 years, and researchers found that children who were raised in homes with a lot of corporal punishment turned out to be more antisocial and more egocentric. Think about that, the very thing you're trying to teach your kid not to be, egocentric and sociopathic, is the very thing that those children grow up to be. Now, let me tell you one thing really quickly. Every parent feels at the end of their rope, frustrated, scared to death, and not knowing what to do next. And they may smack their kid occasionally, and life will go on. There's always an apology afterwards. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and I hope you'll listen to me again next Thursday at 1 p.m.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double, don't worry.